2 minutes?
Yeah, we're on in 2 minutes.
2 seconds,
Randy.
I think.
Oh,
come on, Grandpa. Wind your grandpa clock. What do they call those grandfather clocks? Randy, get a little louder. Get out up there. Yeah.
It's me.
Act like you're on radio, son. That's my new saying.
Can you hear me now?
Barely. This is the Freedom Fiends. Broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Bean Prairie
phone.
Studios.
Bean phone.
That's the surprise.
Consummate professionals we've got
here.
Oh, my God. Oh,
everyone just wants to be on the Fiends.
It's Lou.
Are you there, Lou? Lou? Are you safe? Have you been contacted by the government? Yeah, we can't hear Lou, so we're just going to keep talking until Lou gets on. I hope he's not cussing while he's trying to troubleshoot, though. So
one of these days, we'll start the show. Though.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think we come on in about 2 minutes here, Randy. Well, it's about a minute and a half now. Yeah.
And I will not cuss.
We're toasting your brain. It's tasty and toasty to a flaky crust. I'm Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster, talking to Davi Barker, the Free Radical, also known as the Shiny Badger, and Mr. Randy England, Counselor Randy England, an attorney. And, you know, and what's your radical name? No,
The Wampus Cat.
You're the Wampus Cat. Yeah. I just got up from a nap.
Fiend phone.
Come on in, Lou. The coffee's warm. Are you there, Lou?
Maybe he doesn't have the password.
He has the password. Oh, is he? No, he's in. He got the password
wrong.
He's
out now.
Yeah,
he's
out now. Well, this is a demonstration of Fiend phone. It's working. We're using it fine. But, I think Lou probably put in the wrong port or something. So... Anyway, should I just give him the password over the air? No, that's not a very good idea. All right. And the reason I mentioned Randy as a ex-prosecutor and a current attorney is because we're going to do, I don't know, installment 6 or 7 or 8 or something tonight of an attorney's opinion on Better Call Saul. But we got some things to catch up on first. Well, something happened. There's this...
lots of things happened.
There's this horrible person named Damon... Freedomain Damon that people may remember Stefan Molyneux, the beginning of the end for him. And I said I wouldn't talk. I'm not talking about Stefan Molyneux. He's important to this story, so I'm explaining it. So
he's a non-player character.
He's a non-player character in this story. So Stefan Molyneux last year at some point, this person calling themselves Freedomain Damon made these creepy videos on YouTube that were like doxing members of Freedomain Radio, you know, like showing private, you know, pictures of their kids, where their kids went to school, like creepy, like serial killer kind of stuff, like their home addresses, their phone numbers, their cell numbers, and also making up absolute slander about them, calling them all child molesters, child abusers, or victims of child abuse and child molestation. Freedomain Radio people freaked out about this. I mean, this was like the biggest topic in Freedomain Radio. And it was a pretty big topic too in people that criticized Freedomain Radio. It became an even bigger topic to me after I was criticizing Molyneux a lot and interviewed some inner circle members of Freedomain Radio. When this guy, Freedomain Damon, doxed me, he added me to his website that I'm not going to give out the call letters. He said I was a child abuser, and he also gave out some private information. He said horrible things about my late daughter. None of them are true. And, you know, gave out some contact info. And so suddenly, like, you know, where something had been kind of a story to me, then it had died down. Like, suddenly it was kind of a story to me again. And then it kind of died down after a while. And I completely forgot about this guy. He showed up in Keene, New Hampshire, and there is there's a website doxing him now, like far better than he doxed other people, because he doxed people like, oh, I have your home phone number and I'm making up garbage about you. Like this site, damondox.com, damondox.com, like it looks like somebody really put some research into it, and maybe a private detective or something. I mean, they have like, they got his VIN number, they got his license number, they got pictures of him, and this woman, this transgender woman person, Ashley, that he's traveling with. And apparently like they've been driving around the country, like messing with people. Like they did this in Seattle and they've done it other places, and they showed up in Keene and went to
driving
Liberty.
Driving around the country, causing mysteries.
Yeah. Causing mysteries. Yeah. In a van. No, in a red Volkswagen Jetta. Yeah. But they showed up at Liberty Forum. Davi was there. And apparently, I don't know if you saw much of this, but they were like, people said that they were trying to like verbally goad people into punching them. And there was one guy who,
or committing crimes, I think.
Yeah, they were,
everyone
they were
had a
stealing.
Story about them. It was the weirdest thing. They were like the talk of the town.
And they get off on that too, but they don't get off on it anymore because apparently, like, they're in the mode of like shut down everything, because they're all of the sites and profiles that are linked from Damon Docs, DAMONDOX.com, everything that's linked from there. Like they're still in their hotel room. In Keene at the Days Inn, like there's people like watching them, like there's shifts of people with binoculars photographing them and watching them and like looking for when they leave and where they go, because they've caused so much trouble.
Davi, you didn't punch either one of them, did you?
I did not.
Okay. Yeah.
And if you had, I was going to ask you if you punched the boy or the girl, but
the girl looks like she could fight more than the boy, for sure. The boy's skinny and the girl's taller and looks she kind of looks like, what's the guy's name, in World According to Garp, there's a straight cross-dressing football player played by John Lithgow.
Yeah, that's John Lithgow.
She looks like a road hardened put away wet version of that character. But yeah, so they're going through and like
I think she looks more like Meatloaf from Fight Club.
Oh, there you go. So they're basically this is kind of funny. They're trying to take the pee out of the pool. They're trying to remove themselves from the internet at this point, which is ridiculous because like people have their home address and their parents' names and their one Damon's full name. They're still working round the clock on Ashley's name. And so I guess the moral of the story is don't mess with cop blockers and don't mess with Free State people, you know, like don't come into their pool and pee all over the place and expect to not be heavily photographed and documented and poked and prodded.
Yeah. Doxing is one of their primary defense mechanisms.
It is. Yeah. They should have researched their targets better. They probably thought that was a target rich environment. Like they thought Free Domain Radio was, but no, man. It's weird though that they were trying to start like verbally get into fistfights with a room full of people that are armed all the time. That doesn't sound like a good strategy.
Yeah, I don't know.
DamonDocs.com. That's DAMONDOX.com. All right, so what else we got on the agenda here, boys?
Well, we have Better Call Saul, of course, and I just got back from the Bitcoin Summit in Phoenix, Arizona. That was kind of fun.
Yeah. Okay, Randy, can you stay for both hours? Mm-hmm. Randy?
If I'm invited.
You're invited. Sure. You're invited. Speak up, son. All sound right. Like you're on the radio. All right.
Do I need to be louder or am I
no,
okay?
No, you're good. No, I turned you up. All right. So all right. Let's start with Davi's thing. Talk about your event there, please,
That's
sir.
That's good.
Yeah.
Sure. So the Bitcoin Summit is hosted by Ernest Hancock of Declare Your Independence radio show. And he does a Freedom Summit usually, but this year he did a Bitcoin Summit, and it was essentially like a workshop for new users and merchants. And so there were some speakers and stuff. I was invited to speak about the various features you want to look for in your wallets, depending on what sort of activity you want to engage in. Ooh. And so that essentially means
what if
like
you want to engage
I
in doxing?
Recommend.
What do you look for in your wallet?
I don't think there's a way to dox a Bitcoin wallet. There might be a way of doxing a person based on their Bitcoin wallet, and there's ways to maybe protect your privacy with Bitcoin.
I think there's ways to pay for doxable. I think there's ways to pay for web hosting with a Bitcoin wallet.
Yeah.
All right, so go on.
So it was things like recommending like Airbits or Mycelium for the beginning user, but maybe blockchain for the more developer-minded.
Do you know what Mycelium is? It's such a cool name for a program. Do you know what Mycelium is?
No, I've looked this up before, but I can never remember it.
It's basically the roots of mushrooms, but they're technically not roots because technically the mycelium, well, mushrooms aren't a plant, but if you want to use plant analogies, mycelium is the tree and the mushroom above ground is like the fruit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And mycelium can cover acres of one particular individual mushroom instance of mushrooms, what would be the word? One particular
bud, head,
individual. Shroom. One particular individual, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, but now you say, do you know what mycelium really is? You're talking about the software, the app for your smartphone, yeah. Right?
It's just a great name for software.
Yeah. It's just an analogy, right?
Oh, like, and it spreads like mycelium, too. That's probably why they use that name, other than it sounds cool.
Yeah, it speaks to the idea of a very robust underground economy, yes. Right?
Yeah, there you go. I like it. Yeah.
What about the price of Bitcoin? Did they talk about that?
Oh, I'm supposed to mention that freekeen.com has an article about Ashley and Damon. I just got a note. And video. And the video is getting a lot of hits. The video is Ashley and Damon getting kicked out of a bar by free staters. It's got 528 views in 24 hours or less. Less.
Yeah, there was something weird. At the end of that video, Ashley calls everyone neckbeards and then calls everyone betas.
Those are words that he used all over his doxing. That's one of the evidence that this is the same person. Because those are unusual words.
What do these words even mean? Like, is betas, like neckbeard means like a chin curtain. It's a style of beard, right?
You're a neckbeard.
I'm a neckbeard?
You're a neckbeard. A neckbeard is a hipster with a neckbeard. Although, technically, a real neckbeard is only a neckbeard. It was a style. It was cut, you know, like, it's like from the 1800s or something. But,
yeah, it's the chin curtain. It's one of my favorite beards, yeah. But my wife won't let me do it.
Abraham, are we talking Abraham Lincoln here?
I don't know. Google, go on Wikipedia and search neckbeard. There's an article. I've looked this up. Because Jim Jesus used the word neckbeard in his Cards Against Humanity, maybe referencing Damon. I'm not sure. But
so what's a beta? The only thing I could think is that it was a reference to Brave New World.
No, it's not an alpha. It means a male that like doesn't get any play. You're not an alpha male. You're a beta male.
That's a really weird insult.
It really is. The 1984 thing would be better. Brave New World. Like the betas, the deltas were the ones that were basically retarded intentionally by putting alcohol in their test tubes when they were being whelped.
There were epsilons too.
Epsilons just sit around and eat through a tube, don't they?
I don't remember.
Yeah. Damon's an epsilon.
Worms.
Worms will be back.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges. Yeah!
This is Davi Barker from ShinyBadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at ShinyBadges.com, write WORMS in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Everybody give me a meow. Everyone meow.
Meow.
All right, we got a four-way fiend phone show going here, and we still sound better than most radio shows or podcasts with four people in the same room. So, Lou, how you doing? What's up?
Greetings and salivations.
Let me turn you up a bit. Go ahead, Lou. Talk, Lou.
I am living the big time life up in Bear Scat, Michigan.
Yeah, you moved.
Up in the Upper Peninsula.
Although you have better internet than you did like near Detroit, because you have communist internet. Like everyone's internets are more equal than everyone else's, right? You have government internet.
Well, it's not so much that it's communist internet, it's just not Detroit internet.
There you go.
But yeah, I'm having a good old time up here. Everything's four-wheel drive, including the bicycles. I'm kind of having trouble adjusting to.
Wouldn't that be a quadsicle?
Something like that.
Hey, can you say that on radio? That sounds dirty.
But quadsicle? I'm having trouble adjusting to. I'm having trouble adjusting to the accents up here. It's like Ed and Ethan on steroids.
How far are you from Canada? Can you hit it with a rock? Although it would not be polite to do so.
If you look at where I am on a map, people will probably figure that it is Canada. I'm not too far from Minnesota. I'm north of Wisconsin.
Do you want to dox yourself and say the weird name of your town?
You look like you're in Wisconsin on the map.
Do you want to say where you are? You can't say. It's a secret.
In a secret, undisclosed location, somewhere in the middle of nowhere.
You know, there's actually a I'm watching this show that people are going to hate me for watching this. They're going to go like, man, I thought you were a statist when you were watching cop shows. I'm rewatching every episode of The West Wing, which if people don't know, it makes cop shows look like libertarian paradises, but there's less violence, like a visual. Well, there's remote violence. There's the president in the war room saying, yes, drone those people in that apartment building because there's one guy there we want. So it's basically this idealized Democratic White House in the 90s, written by a guy who thinks democracy is great. It just has to be fixed. It's basically a workplace drama comedy, and the workplace happens to be the White House. I don't know why I like it. The writing's really good. Everything about it's really good. It takes a lot of suspension of statism, though. I have to hit myself in the head with a hammer a few times before I watch it. And
When I was a statist, I couldn't watch that.
I know. It's so, but there's a storyline in there about one of the inside staff of the White House gets refused a White House entry to a White House party because there's an INS declaration next to her name suddenly. And what they find out is that she was born in Wisconsin, like 4 miles from Canada. And at some point the lines were redrawn and suddenly she's Canadian, which actually I don't think has happened in over 100 years, but it's kind of funny. It's an interesting storyline. Maybe that'll happen to you.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
So does she talk funny too?
Beta, the term beta, Nathan the Ninja Squirrel just wrote us and said the term comes from pickup artist community. You know, people who like exchange tips on how to trick women into sleeping with them. So there you go.
And what does it mean in that community?
It means not like everyone thinks they're an alpha and everyone else is a beta. So
does it mean like women are betas to men, or does it mean that male alphas and
it's the male like thing?
Beta males are men who can't get any.
Yeah. And Nathan says that pickup artist community is the dating version of the sovereign citizens that believe you can get women with magic words.
That is so good.
We also have some more information in on the neckbeard.
Yo, hang on, though.
I have some new announcements on the neckbeard as well.
And Alpha is like a... Isn't Lou a neckbeard, too? Most of the fiends are neckbeards, except me. I grew a goatee one time, and I was like, after a month, I was like, my face itches, and I shaved it all off in a fury drunkenly before a show. All right, so an Alpha...
I'm only a neckbeard during hunt season.
An Alpha... like alpha gorillas, has charisma, confidence, and magnetically attracts women. Betas, in contrast, have money and a job, but no charisma or game. In pickup community artist doctrine, women will play the field to get with alphas and finally settle down with betas because alphas are bums. That's funny. You know, interestingly, though, of all the people that guy doxed, I'm the only one he didn't call an alpha. He basically called me a sex fiend pervert, so... I guess that's a compliment that I'm the pervert among betas. Okay.
Hey, so do the pickup artists look for girls with fringe on the flag?
Oh, that's such a triple entendre. All right, so neckbeards. The topic today is neckbeards. Call in on Fiend Phone, but you can't. So go ahead, Lou, or whoever.
Well, there are visual clues.
Oh, we're going to do visual humor on the radio. Davi loves that. We did that in person. We did that in person at Porkfest. It was fun while Ian Freeman was tripping on radio, on our show. He would never trip on his show. He's a pro, but he'll trip on our show. We love him.
The first listener to call in with the number of fingers I'm holding up, win a neck beard.
Win a date with a neck beard.
Wrap on.
An alpha neck beard.
2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
I was talking over a woman.
Books. Attended lectures.
Break. Wait, what? Who doesn't want a massage? What do you mean, Bobby?
Well, you said you were a misogynist. I could use a massage.
I could really use a massage. I guess some beta male should come over here and give me a massage. Oh, wait, there's a woman here. She's better than a beta male. Hey,
better.
I almost called my wife Davi.
Yo.
Hey, DJ.
Hey, Randy.
Yeah, Lou.
Liberty Fest is coming up in early August this year.
I saw that.
Same place.
I'm going to get a back rub on the air. This is like Howard Stern.
Money back guarantee if it's 95 degrees and 100% humidity again.
That's the rule, right? A woman who gives massages is a masseuse, and a man who gives massages a misogynist, right?
I'm going with that, yeah.
protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical
spills. Actually, are you going to Porkfest?
No, I won't have the vacation time and where I'm living now.
I wanted weaved bacon though, and I'm going.
Well, come to Liberty Fest.
Will you be weaving bacon
there? What's Liberty Fest?
Oh, that's the Michigan Midwest piece of Liberty Fest.
Will Cooley, is it Cooley or Coley?
Coley.
He was there last August, the one I went to.
Yeah, it's a small little festival. We're only expecting about 200 people this year.
Yeah, but it's doubling every year.
I don't know about doubling, but close to it, yeah.
It doubled last year, right? Did you see the
DJ says I sound like a zombie when I get back rubbed. California warehouse. Thank you, baby.
Don't miss out on this huge warehouse. She only says that because she's a misogynist.
She's a misogynist.
But, yeah, Randy, you don't really have to worry about being 95 degrees and humid because they got the lake over there.
Yeah, well, are you going to have this one?
We are recording, gentlemen.
Circle Pines?
Oh, yep,
Circle
same
Pines
place.
Are okay. You're not going to go to the Upper Peninsula.
Nope, I'm up there.
Yeah, it'd be easy for you.
Well, yeah, but now the trip to Liberty Fest, if I drive straight through, is almost 8 hours.
Oh, wow. Well, then you're getting up there to my drive time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're still going to Liberty Fest, though.
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Okay. I'm going to have to wait and see, because I am going to Pork Fest this year and see how much that takes out of me. There's a lot of young people there. It could be grueling.
There's people of all ages at Pork Fest.
Okay, but they stay up late and they make noise and things. Fortunately, I am staying at a motel, so that should alleviate some of that.
Yeah. Well, Liberty Fest was the right speed for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, that wasn't real wild. I mean, people stayed up and talked and drank beer and stuff, but you went off in the bushes and it was quiet there. So.
Yeah.
Well, you and I, we were about 60 yards away from the main area, and it was perfectly
something
nice
like that.
Once you got that far off. When I say you and I mean, we weren't in the same sleeping bag or anything.
you remember. I may have given you a roofie.
Hey, listen. You, on the air from there, you let Michael say that I was, not Michael, who was it said that I was snoring?
I don't know.
Oh, no. It was Nicole, I think, who said she thought I was snoring over there. And I, of course, didn't remember snoring, but I did remember when I woke up that morning, you were over there sawing logs. And
I blamed it on you.
And I think you guys blamed it on me.
Yeah, we did.
On the air.
I think we waited till you left to do that too.
You waited till I left. Although it was Diana, sweet Diana. She said she stuck up for me and said, "This isn't fair. Randy's already gone."
And that's why we're saying it.
You got your neckbeard definition up.
What was up?
Get your neckbeard definition up.
Oh, I have it here.
Gentlemen, start your neckbeards.
I'm prepared to give out the visual clues of a neckbeard.
Yeah, I brought up a... Yeah? I think we're on in about 2 minutes, Randy.
Hey, you can't fool me.
Fool me once, don't get fooled again. Gentlemen, start your neckbeards. Randy is the hippest grandpa. Randy's the hippest grandpa I know, man. We're talking to Randy. Davi's like, what's a neck beard? Davi is a neck beard, but not really, but he almost has one. So Davi's like, what's a neck beard? And Randy, who's like 20 years older than him, is like, oh, well, urbandictionary.com says.
Well, here's the thing.
And then he's I installed Linux on my laptop. And go ahead.
I was under the impression that a neck beard was the same thing as a chin curtain. And a chin curtain is my favorite beards. You can say a chin curtain on the radio, and if you want an idea of what this is, it's Henry David Thoreau's beard.
If you look at badquaker.com and you look at the top bar, the one Cantwell didn't know who it was. Yeah.
It's the one where like your face is all shaved along the line of your chin, and then you like have this beard billowing out from underneath your chin that kind of frames
BadQuaker.com, second from the left. It goes Lysander Spooner. I don't know who these people are, but yeah, he's on there. Rothbard, Quaker, I don't know.
So yeah. I thought neckbeard was a kind of compliment. It was like saying you were similar to Ralph Waldo Emerson.
Oh, I have disappointing news. I have disappointing news. Cody Wilson was supposed to be on the show this weekend, but he's not going to be, but he's going to do a makeup exam and,
he's trying to grow a neck beard.
He would never, he's so preppy, man. He would never grow a neck beard. That's one of the reasons he's successful, I think, is because he looks like, you know who he look like?
Because he grooms?
Yes. He looks like the law student people want their daughter to marry. Until they find out that he's like plotting the overthrow of the U.S. government with nonviolent means and software, you know? Yeah.
There you go.
Well, he is a law student, isn't he? Wasn't he?
Oh, I think he's on break. We'll ask him when we get him on the show. So, yeah. So, what's a neck beard, gentlemen? Who wants to go first?
Randy, go.
Go, Randy.
Well,
go.
There are some, I've located some visual clues, which wouldn't apply to all of them, but. As a group, you often find a fedora, perhaps.
What?
Or
I don't think so.
Made out of neckbeard.
Yeah, a ponytail can be.
I think you're looking at like the 1930s version of UrbanDictionary.com when it was an actual dictionary in a library.
Really? Wait, a ponytail is a neckbeard? What kind of Picasso head is on here?
No, a neckbeard is not a thing under your mouth. A neck beard is a person.
Yeah, but they don't wear fedoras, man. They wear beanie caps. Everybody at Porkfest. Oh, you weren't there. Everybody at the thing in Michigan. They're
talkative, self-important, nerdy men, usually age 30 and over, who through an inability to properly decode social cues, mistake others' strained tolerance of their blather. Wait, this is sounding like the
That doesn't sound
things.
Anything like Ashley and Damon.
This sounds awesome.
For evidence.
Keep going. It sounds just
people
like
people mistake others' strained tolerance of their blather for evidence of their own charm. But they frequently will have a really crummy beard.
DamonDocs.com. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Or here's something. I don't know if this is a word. A pedo stash.
That's a mustache that looks like a child molester, like a 70s porn stash.
It also says they may wear all black or all red.
All black. That's entertainment.
There you go.
There's more odd eye behavior. You know, like maybe looking in two different directions.
Damon put his sunglasses on as soon as he realized he was being filmed. That's odd eye behavior.
That's odd eye behavior.
Yeah, for sure.
Hand actually, say anything about dyeing their hair green?
There's a hair. It says dyed hair. Yes, it does.
Oh,
dyed
okay. Hair. There you go.
Hand placement. Instead of using their pockets, they usually leave them at their sides or cross them.
That's Ashley all over.
And
you met her. I didn't meet her. I'll never meet her. Never. Don't. Yeah, go on.
And those are some of the main things that I've located here at this is from the Urban Dictionary, though, which is an authority.
Well, it's an authority written by neckbeards, though. It really is. Like Wikipedia. It's like people that got kicked off editing Wikipedia. No, I'm kidding. There's some good stuff on. That was actually a really good description. Dobby, did you find one?
No, I just was wanted to talk about, if you want to know a picture of a chin curtain, I'm an advocate of the chin curtain. It's my favorite of beards. And so, I would like to reclaim neckbeard as a compliment for looking like Henry David Thoreau. When you call someone a neckbeard, you should be saying, like, you're an OG anarchist. That's what it should mean.
Or OG Amish.
OG Amish. There you go.
Yes, it's the Amish beard. That, too. Good point.
You know, Mark and the Mennonites. Mark and Ian were talking about Shakers today, and they said, I don't think they ever corrected this. I wrote them, but I don't think they got it in time. They said that there are no more Shakers in the world. They are extinct because Shakers are kind of like Quakers or Mennonites who took it even further to the point where they don't have sex. So they can only recruit. So kind of like homosexuals before they could adopt kids. So
they occur in nature, though.
They do.
But I have taken a vow of celibacy, like my father before me and his father before him.
You're just not very good at New Year's resolutions.
But they were wrong. They were wrong, Ian and Mark were. There are three Shakers left in America, and they're in Maine.
Yeah, but how many movers?
they need movers, like the Free State Project. Movers for Shakers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. So
I'm still trying to get past this whole neckbeard thing, because it kind of described my friend Anarchist. And Randy, you met him. As a matter of fact, he was even on the show from Liberty Fest.
He was the communist we made fun of, right?
No. That was Jacob. Anne was the crypto anarchy, subversive, seditionist guy with a cheesy 70s porn mustache.
Porn stash.
Okay.
Pedo stash. I don't know.
Yeah,
who
you
know
what I'm talking about, Randy. No. Oh, that's right. You Skyped in from a brothel in Las Vegas.
Right before going to confession.
That's right. You weren't even
now,
there.
Now, I have video proof that is a dirty lie, and it's feet stink.
As a matter of fact, I was just watching that video tonight. One of my friends from downstate was up here for work, and I showed her the video of it because I don't think she had seen it before. Anyway, that little part comes on, and she's like, oh, my God, I can't believe you did that to that sweet old man. And I'm like, who are you calling old?
Thanks.
Well, actually, I said, who are you calling sweet, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, I am older than you guys, so it's all right.
Not by much. I mean, you've only got Michael by a couple years.
I'm the fourth oldest fiend. It goes oldest to youngest. Randy, Ben, it's a toss up. I don't know. Bill or Ben, then me. We're all four of us are over 50. And then everybody else is, most of the others are in their 40s. Lou, what are you, 39, 38?
I'm 29 in warm years.
There you go. And then
I'll be 45 this year.
And then we got the 16-year-old, too. Who's getting school credit. The juvenile. That's funny, because juvenile is a biology term. You know, like a juvenile jellyfish or a juvenile antelope. Yeah, it means a young specimen. Specimen! That's the word I was looking for. A single specimen of a fungus can be several acres underground. You know, like all the fruit you see on the ground, all the mushrooms, like the whole tribe of them will be the same DNA strand. Exactly. So there you go. That's why they called it mycelium.
Well, it sounds like we need a special name for young fiends, you know, like with Goji Got Kids. And
fiendlet would be kind of insulting, I guess, fiend.
Yeah, let's fiend source that. First person to call in on fiend phone with a proper name for young fiends wins, a neck beard.
I'll bet Nathan the Ninja Squirrel would call in on Fiend Phone. He's called in before, and he's reasonable. But he just wants to talk about Star Trek, and I'm not that much of an I don't know.
What about Fiendling, like Fledgling?
A Fiendling! There you go. That's it. You did it.
Yeah.
Davi's good at this.
Davi wins a neck beard.
And you get a neck beard. Look under your chair.
You
there's
extra
a
one.
Neck beard. You know, I saw Tom Waits on New Year's Eve one time at the Davi, what's that big theater downtown on Market Street in San Francisco? It's around the corner from your mosque.
I don't know.
It called? Oh, come on.
I don't go to mosque in San Francisco, and I almost never go to the theater. So
not the theater. It's where bands play. The Warfield.
Oh.
The Warfield.
Okay. Never would have come up with that.
I saw Tom Waits there. It holds about 1,000 people. It's got a balcony. It's a beautiful room. I saw Tom Waits there on New Year's Eve, and like, as he was getting closer and closer to New Year's, he said, I have a special surprise for you. And when it got like a minute before New Year's, he said, all right, everybody look under your seat. I bought everyone a bottle of champagne. And there was no bottles of champagne under the seat. He was just messing with everybody. It's pretty funny, though, because I kept looking. I was getting sober by that point, and I wanted some champagne. So I kept looking under people's seats around me. It was kind of
okay, so Davi gets a bottle of champagne, the neckbeard brand.
You don't drink.
I don't drink.
okay, you get the sparkling apple cider.
We're the designated.
Are we still
thinkers?
Adding the names for the juvenile fiend because we haven't? No one has offered the. Did we have a fiendling or a fiend fant?
Fiendling, fiend fant.
How about the fiend whelp?
Whelp
or a fiendster? Fiend Sprout. You know,
on the subject of not drinking and the Bitcoin Summit, I invented a new drink. What? And I call it the Teetotaler's Irish Car Bomb.
What?
So,
hey, it is St. Patrick's Day for 45 more minutes. So you
right,
can tell
so
a car
all
bomb
you people
joke.
Out there who need to sober up really quick, here's your coffee you should drink before you hit the road. You order a coffee, but you have the person serve it in a Guinness glass, and then you have them pour you a shot of cream, and you drop the shot of cream into your coffee.
I'm trying to find out what a young yak is called. I think that's what Nick should be. But,
oh, that would be good.
But actually, probably I think another word for young fiends could be a kit, because a kit is a baby cat, beaver, ferret, fox, raccoon, rabbit, mink, squirrel, skunk. It's also a group of pigeons flying together, and we do use pigeon for encrypted IM. So I like yes. kit. It's a young yak.
Well, with all those animals in there, I guess a fiend could fit in with at least a couple of them.
A fiend, yeah.
A cub.
Yeah.
Oh, a young yak is called a cow. I don't think we want to call Nick a cow.
That's strange.
Yeah. Nick should grow a neck beard. Nick could look like a really cool, yeah,
Nick,
like an Amish dude or something. Old
Nick,
old,
if you're well, listening, you yeah. need to we
past his bedtime.
You need to forgive us for having
it's past
so much
his bedtime,
fun at your
man.
Expense.
It's not really at his expense. A couple years. He's just the young fiend, and we're looking for the name for the young fiend.
That's only
young fiend. Only like the rapper, there's a rapper named Young Lean. He could be the young. He could be Young Fiend. All right. Thank you for your service, gentlemen. We'll be back for more in a few minutes. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Gentlemen, so, hey, this is my you know, at some point, we are going to have to figure out what you would call a group of fiends.
A murder of fiends?
A what?
Murder of fiends.
A murder of fiends. A gaggle.
I like a gang of fiends, because I kind of feel like we're a gang.
Yeah. So, and using the logic that fiend is derived from fiend, I looked up what other words for fiend is, and one of them was demon. And the name of a young demon is a minion. So maybe a young fiend
that.
Should
oh,
be
a
minion.
No, because that makes it sound like everyone's doing my laundry or something, man.
Okay.
A bunch of alphas, a bunch of betas doing my laundry.
Bunch of neck beards.
Maybe neck beard should be.
Yes, here. I've built bunk beds in my basement for them.
The Fellowship of the Fiend.
I'm stacking them like cordwood. The first rule of Fiend Club is you can't talk about what happens at Bavarian Gulch.
Well, I don't.
Fiend just means
it, so
like
I wouldn't.
Like fiend means like a. A
crazed
excessive
person,
fan
an addict.
Or a zealot.
Yeah, but it also
addict.
Means no. Fan comes from fanatic. Fiend yeah. means an addict. That's what the original okay. meaning. It was a slang. It's like 1800 slang for a drug addict or an alcoholic.
So what's the name for a young addict?
A junklet.
It's a baby, right? Like a crack baby.
A
maybe
junk,
it's a fiend baby.
A junk kit. A junket. A junk kit. A crack baby. A fiend baby. Well, there are people that are raising their kids on the fiends. I don't know if that's peaceful parenting. I don't think it is, but I'm kidding.
It is.
A group of fiends would be a phalanx with a
ooh.
F.
Ooh. A phoenix of fiends with an F?
A phalanx.
Sounds too much like
you know,
failing.
A phalanx, yeah, that's like the Greek... army
like a,
know.
it's like a troop or a squad
a troop yeah. There are animals that a group of them is called a troop. What are they?
What if it's troop like T-R-O-U-P-E like a theater troupe?
Fiend force.
There's a 30 Rock thing where Jenna Mahoney, the dumb blonde on the show, She's supposed to, she's being interviewed while doing a fashion shoot with loud music playing, and she's mishearing the questions. And they're like, "Do you support the troops?" is one of the questions. She's like, she thinks they said theater troops, and she was a child actress. And she's like, "Troops? I hate the troops. They're always strutting around in their costumes, thinking they're better than everyone else, and most of them are gay." And like, she almost gets kicked off TV for it.
Oh, man.
A group of hyenas is called a cackle.
Hmm. A suck of homos?
Is that what a group of...
Radio.
We're not on radio.
Yeah, I know.
The Carell rule.
Derek J says worse on here every Sunday. I keep spanking him over
You know
it.
What the group names no homo. For cats are? Do
Kids.
You know, Michael?
Oh, a clouder.
There are more. A clouder, there are, a clutter,
but,
a pounce.
But wait, a there doubt. Are more. A pounce? I love a pounce.
A pounce.
A pounce
a
of
nuisance,
kittens.
A glory. A nuisance. Or a glare.
Wait, a nuisance of kittens? That is the
yes,
best.
Yes, exactly. No, no, that's a, no, that? That's a group of cats, not
a
baby cats.
A nuisance of kittens.
Kittens are called either a kindle, a litter, or an intrigue.
A kindle? Wait.
A kindle. A kindle of kitties.
Maybe that's where the
I was reading my Kindle. I was reading my bunch of kittens.
Now, wait. Cheetahs, which is kind of like a rompus cat, is called a coalition.
That sounds a little organized and statist to me.
Yeah, that's kind of, doesn't it?
Yes.
A coalition of the killing.
There's a pride of lions. A leap of leopards.
Randy sounds great reading these. You should have a show.
A flamboyance
where you just read
of
these.
Flamingos.
Well, all right. Oh, a tiger group of tigers is either an ambush or a streak.
What were the last three for cats, though? I missed those.
The last three for the cats are kittens.
Kittens.
Kittens are a kindle, a litter, or an intrigue.
Okay, what were cats?
Oh, cats, you wanted to remember a nuisance of cats.
Yeah, keep going. Keep going.
A glorying.
We got a couple more minutes,
cats.
Randy.
A glorying. You're not fooling me now.
A glory.
A glare of cats. Oh, and if the cats are wild, it's called a destruction of cats.
A destruction of cats.
A destruction.
Did you know that there's an infestation of cats at Disneyland now in Anaheim? And they're feeding them and taking care of them and, like, you know, have a vet on staff for them because they eat the mice and the rodents. You know, people go to Disneyland, they want to see the rodents that are people size in costumes. They don't want to see rats and and mice running around, but since people spill food all the time, they would be if they didn't have this infestation, this destruction of cats living in Disneyland.
What, did they come up from Key West or something? Don't they have a big infestation of cats there?
They came from the projects up the street in Anaheim, man. You ever been to L.A.?
Yeah.
Not the project necessarily. I mean, Anaheim is huge. It's a warehouse for people, man. It's not just Disneyland. It's...
They just breed inside. Disneyland is its own ecosystem.
I think Anaheim has as many people as Wyoming. I looked this up one time. Let me look it up.
A warehouse for people? You mean like a FEMA camp?
Yeah, well, Disneyland does have its own army, actually. Anaheim.
Yeah. Randy, I think you're confusing Disneyland and Disney World, and you're talking about the Hemingway cats down in Key
Oh,
West.
Yeah. This, I'm definitely the polydactyl cats, that. The ones yes. that have 5, 6, 7 toes. Okay. Oh, the population of Anaheim is 345,000. Population of Wyoming is about 550,000. So Anaheim is about 3/5 as many people. I don't know, my math's bad, but it's a, you know, 60% as many people as the state that my wife and I live in, which is great. I love it.
A group of baboons is called a congress.
That's I almost swore. That is
so
effing
fitting.
Perfect, man. All right, so I have a quiz
this
for you guys.
Feinsteining fitting.
You know, if we have four-way shows all the time, we're never going to have show notes. This rocks. So, Barack Obama is a liar.
We're also never going to get anything.
He's a socialist, and his feet stink. Hey, I have a quiz question. How many toes total does a normal cat have? I know, because I count them every day.
That
and
would
make
be
sure
5, that... 10, 8, 18.
Okay. 16 plus like 4 toes. Thumbs.
Four. That'd be 20. Lou, what say you?
I don't know, and I don't trust piggybacking on one of these two jokers.
Oh, they have 16 plus a pad. Is
no,
that it?
Davi's right. It's They have four. Oh,
there
on
were
each,
two jokers. He, four, what do you mean he's right? He didn't say anything. Beard.
He's got a cat right there. I said 18. He cheated. He's got a cat.
My cat tipped me off.
He's got a cat right there, man. Yeah, they have four on each toe and on each foot in the back, and five on each foot in the front. But some have a lot. Cats are far more often polydactyl than humans are. Like, and it doesn't seem to bother them. It might actually be a genetic advantage. I can't really tell. I think they're more sure-footed, but there are cats with six or seven toes on each. Google Hemingway cats. Hemingway.
Yeah, those are the ones with the weird toes, right? They have like opposable thumbs.
No, they just have more. They have extra thumbs sometimes. Cats don't have opposable thumbs. If they did, I'd be scared, man. They'd take
I've
over.
I've seen it. I have seen it.
You see them pick something up.
Opposable thumbs.
You've seen them
they're
use tools.
They're going to take over the planet.
Man, I was tripping one time. I was tripping one time, and this cat kept trying to get into my room. And this was a cat that could open a doorknob. He could jump up and spin a doorknob and open a door. And that's kind of freaky. He did not have opposable thumbs. He used his pads to do it. But I went and hid all the knives because I thought I hid the knives, the kitchen knives in my room because I thought this cat was going to stab me in my sleep. I don't have to do that anymore by the grace of God. So
afraid it was going about? To grow an opposable thumb and then get a knife.
All right. What do you? Yes, I thought it had. Well, I don't know. It could open doorknobs. I figured it could grasp a, you know, grasp a knife between its front two pads. And the cat
hide the
like
knives
me.
All you want. He had a switchblade in his fur.
Well, yeah, because what is it I said the other day? Every cat's foot is a holster for five tiny swords, or a scabbard for five tiny swords.
Yeah, each cat is Wolverine from the X-Men in really his own little world.
They really are. All right, so we're just gonna ramble for the rest of this episode, then this segment, and then we're actually gonna talk. And there we go. We're actually going to talk about things in the second hour. Davi's going to give a quick report from Neckbeard Fest that he just got back from Neckbeard Fest 2015. And then we're going to talk about Better Call Saul probably for the rest of the show. So stick Worms. Around. Worms.
All right, later, fiends. I'm out of here.
All right, thanks for your service, sir. Good four-way test. I had a good four-way with you.
Not hey, did you know a group of camels is called a caravan?
Really? Awesome.
Well, what's a group of bats? What about bats, Randy?
Bats. Oh, a colony or a cloud of bats.
A cloud. That's creepy. All right, here we go. Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org. A teaching hospital.
All right, guys.
Okay, thanks, Lou.
Hey, see you, Lou.
Worms.
All right, take care. Worms. Randy, get to Liberty Fest. Davi, if you want to come out, out.
I'm going to look into it.
I'll appear by Skype video or by fiend phone.
A flight of fiends.
A hospital of fiends. A clinic
flock
of fiends
is way too easy. So
Flock of Fiends sounds
that.
Like that horrible band, Flock of Seagulls.
Yeah, that's too easy.
Didn't you used to play in Flock of Seagulls?
How about Randy? A bomb of fiends?
Ugh. Randy really, I mean, Dobby really wants to get a knock on his my door, doesn't he? This video, Ashley and Damon, has 590 views now. You know, I got to say, one of the best hater comments I've ever heard from anti-Keen people who are probably in Keen. on the Free Keen posting for fraudulent posers, Damon and Ashley ousted from New Hampshire Liberty community. One of the comments on here is, God, let me find this. I forgot how to use the internet. I'm old.
You hit the button and then you hear this sound that goes...
Okay, here's the comment, one of the best, funniest hater comments I've ever heard. It's on this article about stalking these stalkers and scaring them out of town. The comment from this hater is, fall in line with the revolution or get excommunicated and imprisoned by the Revolutionary Guard. about the Keniacs.
That's How about funny. The next one?
Which one? Oh, douchebags? That one? Go ahead. Go ahead.
The people that are saying this don't like the article. I thought it was informational.
Yeah, I think it was too. I think these people are, I don't know if they're dangerous, but these people would not make it in Wyoming. They would get, first of all, Ashley would probably get beaten on sight for being a tranny. But yeah, people here wouldn't put up with it. There's also like no central meeting place here. So, but they're from Idaho, or he's from Idaho and she's from Washington State, I think. So,
a perfect
match. Idaho. I keep hearing different places these guys are from.
Oh,
I've heard Seattle. I've heard Chicago.
They're from all those places. So you're basically wondering why people who piss people off all the time aren't in the same location for their whole life.
No, I'm trying to figure out whether they were born in Hawaii or Kenya. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
He was born in Idaho. She's born in Washington.
I mean, I guess the license plate's kind of a dead giveaway. That seems like the most likely because it's at least...
Oh, they have people have their home address, their like parents' address and names and their DMV records and all sorts of stuff. I'm going to step away from the fiends. I'll be back.
Yeah, I'm going to do that real quick too. Be right back.
Maybe 10% of them are runners.
Are we just giving up on talking about Walking Dead because Better Call Saul is so good? I think so. Yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. This last episode of Walking Dead is one of my favorites of all time.
What do you think, Randy? We got about a minute left, Randy. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know anything about Walking Dead, so... Just
speak up, son. Talk like you're on the radio. This is the teaching hospital. This is the Freedom Fiends battling a nuisance of trolls with our swords of wisdom and knowledge that we are right. All right. So, I am Mr. Michael Dean. That's the Wampus Cat, Professor Randy England, Esquire at Law, as opposed to attorney at Lowell, which is a term we're trying to spread that Jim Jesus came up with for sovereign citizens. Davi probably missed that one. He was out of town. You like that?
An attorney.
I thought a Lowell was a libertarian online.
That's several things. Actually, Jim originally spelled it L-A-W-L, Lowell. But I said
Lowell. Or Ladies of Liberty. I've heard that too.
Yeah. So,
we Davi know what Barker. LOL is.
Davi Barker just got back from the International Neckbeard Conference in Jackson, Mississippi. Tell us how it was, Davi.
It was actually a Bitcoin summit in Phoenix, Arizona.
Same thing.
But it was good. You know, like Ernie always puts on a good show, you know, because he's been in the Liberty
MC.
Movement
he's
since before I was born.
MC Ernie Earn, Master of Ceremonies.
Yeah.
Yeah. He puts on a party. He does. Actually, I heard that the Texas Bitcoin convention, Nima thought that.
I'm not going to that.
Why?
Well, on account of 6 feet of snow and a bow tie.
What?
Yeah. Texas has 6 feet of snow and a bow tie.
What's that mean? No, it doesn't.
Paul Snow is about 6 feet tall and he wears a bow tie, and he's why I'm not going to the Texas Bitcoin conference.
I've never heard you say anything bad about someone who wasn't a doxer. What are you saying about him?
So get this. Apparently, when Ernie was asked by Paul Snow what charity he wanted his whatever proceeds to go to, Ernie said, well, you know, how about Bitcoin, not bombs? And Paul Snow went like, well, that's not really what it's not really what we're about. And so Ernie says, oh, so you want a 501c3 charity? And Paul says, yeah. He says, okay, well, how about antiwar.com? And Paul Snow sort of went, no, that's not really the vibe we're trying to achieve here. And so this guy who like has spoken at the Freedom Summit and like came out and like, you know, likes to rub elbows with libertarians is now like a super like pro regulation guy.
He's a statist.
And,
we interviewed him on this show last
year. Poor Bitcoin not bomb.
Yeah. You're dropping out there. I think the government's messing with you, Donnie.
So this is my new saying. I'm not going to Texas.
You're dropping
I'm not
out,
going
man.
Snow
hit your cuss dump on your, I mean your buff dump on your end there. So yeah, that's weird, man. That guy we interviewed him, and he seemed kind of statist. I was like, well, it's a Bitcoin convention. It's cool. But Nima Vedati went to it a couple years ago as the Fiends correspondent, and he said he thought that Ernie put that thing on because Ernie's banners were everywhere, weren't they?
That's what Ernie does.
That's what Ernie does. He's the MC. Does he put, streamers and banners and all sorts of stuff. But he gets the right color, unlike an ANCAP who did an event at Libertopia I'll say it. It was Mark Stevens. Mark Stevens did an event at Libertopia with an anarcho-communist flag behind him, a red and black instead of red and gold.
No.
Do you know about this, Davi?
Yeah, I was there.
You were there.
I remember. Yeah. He didn't know. He just he Googled anarchist flag, and it was the first image that came up, so that's what he grabbed.
You should know that, though. People should know that. All right.
Well, better that it was out of ignorance than that he would really.
Yeah, he's no communist for sure, but
I didn't think so.
No, he is an attorney at Lowell, though.
You know, attorneys.
Damn it!
A highfalutin
damn it!
Word.
Damn it! Damn it! And I just cussed. Well, that's okay on air, but once a year, I gotta start my. I blew it. I'm not sober in Status Anonymous anymore. I have to start over. Part of my recovery was that I wouldn't say anything bad about any libertarians on air.
That wasn't.
Oh, and we just made fun of Mark Stevens. Is that the problem?
Yeah. It's hard, man. It's hard not to make fun of people who aren't us, who aren't as smart and funny and cool as us.
Well, it's okay as long as he's really is.
Well, I'm
not.
Well, everything I said is true, but basically, so Ben Stone and I are inventing Status Anonymous, so, and we haven't gotten through all the steps yet or all of the traditions. So I guess I can write in there some sort of penance you can do to keep your sober date. I'll do that. I'm the king. So, all right, go on. Tell me about your neckbeard convention, Dobby.
So there was a lot going on. Most of it was technical.
No, where were you really? Where were you really?
I was at the Bitcoin Summit in Phoenix, Arizona, right, hosted by Ernest Hancock.
Yep.
And most of the presentations were sort of technical. Like I just sort of did a presentation on the features of wallets.
Sound like you said the presentation. Yeah.
No, the presentation.
That's what we'll
the coolest
doing.
Thing going on was Alma Summers' presentation on her undocumented human tour. And
she's building humans out of Bitcoin in her basement.
She's 3D printing a human being, free range, homegrown, like they used to make. And she's not getting a social security number or a a birth certificate or any of that stuff.
Wait, isn't she like 14? I mean, not that 14-year-olds can't breed. How old is she?
No, she's. I don't know how old she is, nor would I dare to reveal a woman's age without her permission.
There
but
you
she's
go.
About. She's my generation. So.
Okay, never mind. Well, that's a compliment.
Speak for
that's
having a baby.
She looks young.
Yes, she has had a baby, and the baby's name is Neo, and Neo is a non-jurisdictional entity.
Nima Vidati invented that term. When Nima Vidati's wife got pregnant, he said he and his wife were 3D printing a baby.
Okay.
Yeah, so go on. I'm not saying we have to footnote him. I'm just saying Randy asked. So, that's a term. Yeah, go on.
So Neo is born and he has no documentation other than apparently being registered for this conference. And
that's it. His name is in the beast. It's on paper somewhere.
You can go to undocumentedhuman.com and read about the life of a person who doesn't have a birth certificate or a social security number or anything. And, he's, I think, only a few months old at this point, but I imagine this will be an interesting blog as he grows older and faces challenges of being undocumented.
Isn't this website documenting him in a way, though? Like, I've always said that, like...
Yeah, that's really... We were joking about this at the summit. I said they should call this an undocumentary.
There you go. I mean, I have a theory that, like, in Wyoming, you don't have to register guns to own them. I have a theory, though, that everyone in Wyoming registers their gun by being stupid enough to post a picture of it on Facebook. That's how you register them now.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, cool, man. So there's a movie coming out or in process?
It's not a movie. It's a blog. It's a tour.
It's a human.
It's a human being. Yeah. It's like the Truman Show, except he'll probably
not
know.
Not sociopathic.
Yeah, right. I just thought it was the most interesting thing going on there, and she's sort of directly connecting it with Bitcoin because Bitcoin is sort of an undocumented currency, or can be, and
she should put the kid on the blockchain. She should document him on the Namecoin blockchain.
She may have done that. There was talk of registering his birth on some sort of blockchain instead of some government form. I don't know if she figured that out or not, though.
Well, people always say, we could put everything on the blockchain. We could put contracts on really, the only blockchain that it's easy right now, like I could do it while we're on this show, except for the fact that the Namecoin blockchain wallet takes 10 minutes to open. You can put it's about as long as a Twitter message, maybe twice as long in text in the blockchain through the wallet for like a penny. you know, you could put anything in there. So it's possible for sure.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the video on YouTube?
Somebody should put Damon's home address and real name on the blockchain of Namecoin.
There you go.
You can't scrub that.
Have you seen the girl who is undocumented and is crying about it on the internet?
No.
Yeah, did you see her father's rebuttal to her video about how her brother has already solved these problems and it's very simple and he can do it for her?
Yeah, well, she wasn't telling the truth, but she was complaining that her parents were hippies, birthed her in a bathtub or whatever.
The horror. And, the horror.
She was never written down anywhere because she was homeschooled, and now she can't get a password, get a job, can't
Password
can't do
or
anything.
Passport? You probably can't get a password.
A passport, can't get a government loan. I don't know. But
well, you know,
this is real. The problem is real.
I'm in the process of buying health insurance, and I literally, even though I don't qualify for Obamacare benefits, I had to go through Obamacare to get the insurance I wanted to get. Like to, you know, I think to get into health insurance now, you have to go through it.
Congratulations.
You've sucked into the board.
You have been a Affordable Care Acted upon.
Yeah, I really have. Although it's more like...
You know, Alma didn't do a home birth. She had to have a cesarean. So she actually went into a hospital, gave birth, and still refused to sign any forms. I thought it was pretty courageous.
Nice. Yeah, my dad was pretty undocumented. He's 93, though. They didn't document... I mean, he has a birth certificate, but he had to go get a social security number to get a job when he was 15 and wanted to get a job somewhere. When he graduated the one-room schoolhouse at 15. So, yeah,
When did Social Security start?
Yeah, he had to... you know what? There wasn't Social Security. I'm thinking of my brother, my older brother. Yeah, Social Security started with FDR. My dad was like 20 when FDR started being president, I think. Yeah. Zero.
So there you go.
Zero. Zero, 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 two. Thank you very much, FDR. That's Mr. Burns giving his Social Security number.
I thought you were reading like a Bitcoin wallet address or something.
I just slip into binary into machine code every once in a while. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone out there will understand. Yeah. It.
Nathan the Ninja Squirrel will compile it and then send me an email back before the end of the show and know what I said. All right. So you got more on this event before we get into Better Call Saul?
I mean, I guess the coolest thing about it was that it was Pi Day, right? It was 3.1415926,
whatever.
Is that
why everybody was posting Pi memes last week? I had no idea.
It was.
I'm old.
So for the first time in 100 years, I guess it would happen every 100 years, whatever, I don't know. But the calendar date and time matched Pi up to 6 or 7 significant figures. And so that was sort of the point of the conference or the reason for selecting the date. And so we had free pie on thanks to ExpressCoin.com, which is a nice place to buy Bitcoin and other altcoins if you don't mind, you know, giving your DNA sample and your social security number.
Firstborn undocumented child.
Your firstborn undocumented child.
Hey, is the child a boy or a girl, or aren't you allowed to say on air?
Well, you know, we haven't asked him yet, but so far he looks like a boy.
Good.
You're waiting for him to get old enough to make up his own mind.
Oh, you cis male.
Explain the term cis male.
I didn't know this. You guys explained this to me.
Randy, you seem to have a better grasp of the chemistry term. You want
he
to
doesn't,
there?
He doesn't grant, like, I don't know if you guys know, like, the, it's an insult. It's an ultra PC insult calling someone a cis male. It means you're a male who was born as a male and identifies as a male. You horrible,
well, they insist that it's
person.
Not an insult. It's just a privilege you should check. It's but it's absolutely one. Used as an insult.
If you should check a privilege, they're insulting you.
Any word used along with the word male is an insult.
I think Damon uses that term on people. I don't know what he is, but looks
you
male.
You male.
You male.
Worms.
Taking my ball and going home.
Cis worms.
A capitalism of males. Of white males. Cis worms.
Freedom fiends.
A cis so of worms. I'm talking prays. Over a woman. I must be a misogynist.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that?
Hey, there's some Squisklar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing. Buttons! Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Owls are what?
Owls. A group of owls is called a parliament of owls.
Wow. Okay.
Hey, how about a gulch of fiends?
A gulch of fiends. That's good. How about, well, parliament funkadelic. What would be a funkadelic? A funkadelic of peacocks, of peafowl. Are you tired of your taxes funding endless
occupations around the world? What's a group of mushrooms?
A bowl.
A bowl.
A soup. A soup of mushrooms.
Now, see, that's good.
Why are crows called a murderer? That's creepy.
It is kind of.
Because they're black and they, I don't know.
Oh, my wife, there's a crow
they
on my
on
wife's
graveyard.
My wife's computer has Maleficent on it with a crow.
A group of mushrooms is called a troop. That's really boring.
No, it isn't. They don't walk anywhere.
They don't walk
except
anywhere.
In The Hobbit.
I think a colony, maybe. That may be it.
What would cops Although be? A beating of cops?
How about a knot a of frogs? Of cops. A fraud of cops? No, there is something for cops. I forget what it is.
A gang?
Yeah, no, there need it, that's it's something we need something else.
A terror of cops.
Now you're getting better. You're getting better. A confusion of cops. Sorry.
A lying of cops.
I think it should be a confusion of bureaucrats.
That's good. That's good. A pride of cops.
You know where the term red tape comes from?
A pride of police. Yes.
In the Civil War, vets, to get their benefits, had to physically go to D.C., no matter where they lived in the country. And they had to go in and give their name and some kind of proof of who they were. And the bureaucrats had to go through physical files of every soldier. I think only from the North. I'm sure the ones from the South didn't get a pension. But and the papers were tied together with red string that looked like they called it red tape. And that's where the term comes from.
I've seen that.
Yeah. And it was that's where they came from. But which was the, where was it where the vets went to D.C. to demand their benefits and got
murdered?
Oh,
that was after World War One.
Yeah.
When old Dwight Eisenhower got all medieval all over him.
Killed his own troops for asking for what they were owed a few weeks early because they were starving. A few years early, but.
It was the color of the tape they covered your eyes with before they shot you for sedition.
Was it?
You're kidding. No, I'm just making that up.
You're brilliant. Your brain, you got a juicy brain, and I want to suck on it and eat it. No homo.
I sure hope that was recorded.
Yeah. Yeah. Undocumented human.
And when we get back on, you know, you don't have to, you know, you're always, I'm the attorney at law. Our attorney always sounds so highfalutin. I hate to use
my wife's term when people are highfalutin.
Use Esquire.
My wife says, well, no. La-dee-poo. Which I like.
You know, nobody ever makes jokes about attorneys. They make lawyer jokes. Come on. Get it right.
Hey, it bet.
You know, every lawyer joke could be repurposed as a politician joke,
could.
And it'd be perfectly fine. Yeah.
Well, most politicians are lawyers, too. So,
you know, doctors are the same way. They don't like to be called doctors. They prefer to be called.
Yeah, they don't. So, Randy.
And we're back in 2 minutes.
Randy, what are you going to talk about when we're back in a couple minutes? You got ideas?
Well.
Yeah.
I'm thinking salt.
Yeah.
A group of squirrels is called a scurry.
A scurry.
That's good.
What did we decide a group of fiends was during the break? We had
We're still trying to decide.
We're still trying.
A pod of fiends.
Oh, we had some for cops, though. What were the cop ones?
A pride of police.
No, a terror of cops.
A terror of cops.
And a confusion of bureaucrats or politicians.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so let's do Better Call Saul, unless you got one more quick quip about the neckbeard convention.
Okay, I got
convention.
One more for the police, and you have to know what the normal word, well, I'm thinking a pharaoh.
Speak up, speak up.
A pharaoh of police.
Like with a PH?
Huh. That's a real thing?
F-A-R-R-O-W, but you'd have to look up the definition of a pharaoh, which means a group of piglets.
Aw, that's too cute. All right, so... Davi, you got anything else about the neckbeard convention?
No, I think we just about covered it.
All right. Better Call Saul. Thoughts? It was a good
show. What was the name of this last episode?
I don't know, but it was amazing. It was this thing just keeps getting better and better and better. Davi is our crackhead research team looking it up.
It was bingo. This one was bingo.
Oh, the bingo scene was amazing. I loved it. I loved it. So, start. What were your favorite scenes?
Well, he's getting better.
One problem with this one is that Saul is getting so human that at some point, I mean, Jimmy's getting so human and so decent even.
Yeah, but he's...
That at some time, he's going to have to grease up to become Saul.
Yeah, but he's kind of already becoming Saul because he's being really, really decent, but he's conspiring to commit felonies in order to be decent.
Yeah, well, besides what? Bribery and what else?
Breaking into the Kettleman's house to...
Now, the Kettleman's was probably not a felony, breaking into their house.
Really?
Well,
he didn't do it.
It is a felony because of the dollar amount taken.
No.
It wasn't their money.
It wasn't their money.
But does that matter? If the government wanted to mess with you... Okay, you're the attorney. Well, speak up, son, and I'll shut up.
Well, the definition of a burglary is to enter illegally into someone else's building or property or house... for the purpose of committing a crime you're inside. If you're there to get something back or to return stolen property, that's not a crime. So the crime very well could have been just simple misdemeanor trespassing.
So really, it's not a crime to steal stolen property for the intent of returning it to its owner?
I don't think it would be. I don't think that works because it's not their property. You can't steal from somebody if it isn't theirs.
Yeah, speak up. You know, that burglary would not have worked if they'd had a dog.
Or an alarm.
Or a gun.
Oh, Mike would have handled it somehow. He'd have pulled a steak out of his pocket or something.
Yeah. Or
yeah, he did case the joint for quite a while.
He would have shot him with a tranquilizer dart.
So here's the thing I didn't get. When the Kettlemans are threatening Jimmy and they're saying, hey, you know, there's this $30,000 retainer that we gave you, and that now we're going to call that a bribe, and that implicates you in this thing. So if we get in trouble, then you get in trouble. It seems to me that's their word against him. And he could have just as reasonably thought, like just said, hey, they paid me $30,000 for a retainer. How was I supposed to know it was part of this stolen cash, right?
Well, they could also argue that they were already being represented by other attorneys at the time. But is there anything – there's nothing illegal about hiring two different attorneys. And is there, Randy, and not telling them about the other attorney?
Well, eventually it's going to be found out when each attorney files an entry of appearance with the court. But since the case has not yet been filed against them, there's no way for them to know of each other unless somebody talks. Of course, they did talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, but actually, the money that he got was a bribe because, right?
Yeah.
He took it
yeah,
to keep it was quiet.
A washed bribe but, being called a retainer.
And when they fired their lawyer, fired Kim... and her company, her firm, they came back to him and said, oh, that wasn't a bribe. That was our retainer. You're hired.
Yeah.
And he couldn't get out of it because of that reason, if they were going to turn him in or something.
The only suspension... Go ahead.
Well, go ahead. I was about
the
to
only
think
suspension
out loud.
Of disbelief I had wrong with this. The only real problem I had with this show was the Kettleman's not being more freaked out by the fact that a radio-controlled car drove up with $10,000 on their porch.
Yeah, where did they think that came
from? If that happened to me, I don't think I would just take it inside and hide it with all the other money. No, I think I'd leave it out there.
did you notice what they did as soon as
they thought the kid did it?
They thought the kid did
it. Oh, they thought it was their money.
They sat the kids down and had a talk with them and then shuffled them off to bed. They questioned the kids about it.
I must have missed that. Okay.
I still didn't get, like, what, like, I wanted to know what was going on in that conversation, right? Because what does the kid say? What do they say? What? How does that conversation happen?
Well, the kid denies. Denies.
But, and the parents think he's lying.
I still
lying.
Think I'd be more freaked out.
Yeah, me too. Okay. I guess, yeah, because the car didn't drive up. It was just sitting out there, right? I thought he radio controlled
it. And why does a kid put $10,000 in a remote control car?
Because he's playing with it.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Or business, you can now buy, talk sell, over this. And auction your marketplace.
Hey, you want me to introduce it? I've never got to before.
Yeah, go for it.
All right.
Yeah, because if you give the DEA their money and you haven't made the deal, then the DEA just says, hey, deal's off. We have the money.
This alert just came in. We'll talk about it here. Special announcement is for business
owners and leaders of organizations.
How much time
been
do we
waiting
have?
For the we'll right back time in to build.
1 minute.
General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock bottom prices that could save
Shoot,
you
Michael
thousands.
May be back
That's
by
right.
A minute.
General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering
we got another minute. I forgot. I'm back.
Oh, are you there? Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Hey, Michael, is it worth saying that I met Brandon and got my Fiend Phone shirt?
Yeah, I got one too. It's awesome. I want a picture of you in it. I'm too sick.
Yeah, okay.
I don't look good this week. I took pictures and they looked old, tired, fat, sick.
What's
and sweaty.
It's Brendan? Brendan what? What's his last name? On Facebook, it's Satoshi. I don't think that's it.
Yeah, you could say that that's who it is. B. Phillips.
We're back.
Yeah.
We're back?
Yeah, we're back. Of course we're back. Yeah. This is the fiends, the fiendlings, and the fiend nymphs. Fiend nymphs is what Nathan the Ninja Squirrel, our only listener, is calling us. Everyone else wants to call in. We don't take calls, but we take emails, and he emails us a lot during shows, and I like it. He's kind of part of our crackhead research team. All right, so what do you guys got? You got some theories about Better Call Saul, the bingo episode. Go.
Oh, just one closing remark on the Bitcoin Summit. I met Brandon, who's printing the Fiend Phone shirts. I got myself a Fiend Phone shirt. So that's pretty cool.
Me too. They're awesome.
I'm very stoked about it. It's a very nice
well
print.
Done.
It's quality. And it's well done, yeah. And it was cool to meet him face to face finally.
Ooh.
Is it Brendan or Brandon?
I don't know.
I don't think Satoshi's his real name, but
it's always confusing.
Yeah, it's Brandon Satoshi, but I'm going to guess that that's an assumed name. It's a nom de plume.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. All right, so let's go on to the show. Talk about the show. Better Call Saul.
Well, during the break, Davi was talking about the getting the money back, and at when Saul got back in and became the lawyer for the Kettlemans, his way out of it was to get the money stolen from the Kettlemans. Had Mike steal the money out of their house.
And thank you for not going
to him.
Thank you for not going to Acapulco with this, Mike. That was funny.
Oh, that was a good line. That was good. And that kind of was, you know, you found out that Mike's an honest guy, at least, even though he's a burglar, or as I mentioned earlier, a trespasser. I think it was just a trespass.
Well, he's a trespasser, but it absolutely, in most states, you would not be prosecuted if you woke up and found that guy in your house and shot him.
Well, that's probably true.
Except California, the family could sue you. But go on.
That's probably one thing that I was thinking about, though, during the show was that one thing you never, ever do is you never return the money, the restitution in a case before you have a deal.
Yeah.
And so the money couldn't just be sent over the DA. He couldn't hold the money because they could get it away from him, perhaps, if they knew he had it. He couldn't let Kim know about it. He was really boxed in. So the only way he could make this whole deal come together once Mike got the money was to take the money and send the money somehow and a message from Kim. Because, see, the only person who had a deal with the DA was Kim. And the deal was you get the good you get the good deal for the short jail time if you return the money. So the only way to make this happen that you could take advantage of having the money is to send the money and a note that says, here's the money, we'll take the deal, signed Kim.
Did that happen? Then, that didn't happen, did it? Or we don't know.
No, all we saw was Mike take the money and walk off with it.
No, yeah. it had to happen. That's the way that it had to happen.
If that did not happen, Randy has a good point. The prosecutor could still prosecute, could still file and give him the max.
Yeah, but Saul, Jimmy's going to know this. And the other reason he had to do it this way is because to protect Kim, Kim can't know about these nasty things that are going on, or she'll be implicated in it. Like, he couldn't give the money back to give the money to Kim, because now the clients would be challenging their lawyer and saying, you can't give that money back. And she doesn't want to have to fight her clients. So Saul just gives it back to them. And Kim is presented with a done deal. Kim has nothing she can do except she's told, oh, by the way, the money's returned. You took the deal. You know, explain it to your clients and let's finish this. And that's how it behind the scenes had to have gone, and I think it probably did, because it's the only way that works.
Okay.
That sounds pretty thin, though. That seems like it would fall apart so easily, because the moment the DEA says, "Hey, we received the money. Thanks for the note," Kim's like, "What?"
It happened before. They were probably getting the money at the same time Kim was sitting down with the Kettlemans. Huh. To say, here's the done deal. They already knew what the deal was. Kim just found out what the deal was. I'm sure Saul just said, Kim, by the way, you returned the money. You've taken the deal. Go convince your clients. Jimmy boxed everybody in so tight, they had nowhere to go. It was brilliant. It was genius.
You know, and the way he was being a good guy, even though he was doing it in a roundabout way that kind of later defines what Saul is, the reason Jimmy was... He was basically being the best attorney he could for clients that had hired him, which in his own weird way, he is in Breaking Bad, too, for the meth makers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Now, I'm not saying that he didn't violate some ethical rules, okay? But in taking care of the clients, taking care of Kim, taking care of Jimmy, he took care of everybody. He even took care of the county by getting their money back.
So except himself, like, he fell on his sword in this one, because he comes out of the end with like no clients and no money.
He lost his great new
and he lost office. His studio.
His studio.
He had to do it.
You're an artist.
He had to do that, though.
That's a lawyer's studio where they in an office. It's called
right.
It's called an
where
office.
They practice their art.
You know, I used to work in law offices a lot as a temp. I was a receptionist and data entry and word processing drone in a whole bunch of law firms, including, what's the one they call it, MoFo. Their website is MoFo.com. Morrison Forrester. Do you know them, counselor?
No, I don't.
They're a big one. They've been in some high-level cases. I'll look them up. But so what else about the bingo episode? What other scenes and events did you like?
You know, something that occurred to me that should have occurred to me earlier on, but the fact that Jimmy McGill's initials are JM might also be an Illuminatus trilogy reference, because there are memos throughout the book that are signed simply JM. And there's about a dozen characters in the book whose initials are JM. And it's always left sort of a mystery who signed the memos.
And is JM never seen at the same time with Saul Goodman in the trilogy?
Well, there are lots of JMs, so any one of them could be him, I suppose.
Did anybody else laugh when Jimmy is showing the new offices, you know, that are way too huge for a solo guy, to Kim, and takes her into the conference room and says, you know, we'll fix it up this way. And she says, yay, you know, it's for elder law. And she says, well, maybe you could put rocking chairs around the table. And she says,
yeah.
It says, make it look like the front of a Cracker Barrel.
That is funny. Although I think the best place for an elder law place would be a first floor ground level office with a wheelchair ramp, not something way up. Although there is an elevator, but you know,
yeah, well, that was never going to happen. It was way too big. Jimmy's $20,000 would have disappeared in a heartbeat.
How much would that office cost? I mean, I know it's different in different towns, and that was a long time
ago. In Albuquerque, New Mexico. Yeah.
How many square feet was that? 8,000 square feet or something?
Well, I don't know about that, but I bet it was 2,000 or 3,000.
Okay, commercial real estate.
It was big.
Albuquerque. Let's look up the price per square foot.
Well, I mean, obviously Michael, he doesn't want to be internet. He what? Doesn't want to be an elder law forever. He wants to expand, right?
Yeah. Randy, what did you say?
I said you've learned the internet.
I have. I forgot how to use it yesterday. I did a total grandpa internet thing. I was chatting with some people who were listening to Free Talk Live and Ian Freeman during the break, and all of a sudden I was like, Free Talk Live sounded wrong. Like the audio was bad. It sounded like they were all in a box, or it sounded like there was a slight flange on it. And I was like, does anyone else hear what I'm hearing? And they're all like, no, sounds fine to me. Sounds great. And I finally realized I had two player windows open in two different windows. Like that's the grandpa thing. Like grandpas, people who don't know how to use internet always think when they open a new window and then it goes behind the one they're on that it's disappeared. And usually when I do that by accident, I end up with, you know, they're like 2 seconds apart because of the buffering, and I can totally tell because it's an echo. But this was milliseconds apart for some reason, so it just sounded like a flange, and it sounded like a tiny enclosed room. Yeah, and somebody said, close the window, Grandpa, you'll get a draft.
It keeps you humble.
So are there any other like legal questions you guys have about this episode?
I can't remember this episode. Oh, I like the cornfield. I'm sick, so I've got brain fog. But I like that they called the big law firm was so big that they called the part where you don't want to be down at the other end the cornfield. That was pretty fun.
The other wing, the east wing, yeah, or whatever it was.
The west wing, yeah.
Now, she seemed to think that she couldn't accept his position as an assistant because Hamlin put her through law school.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
I asked my wife essentially that. Like, she didn't know. You're an indentured servant to a law firm?
Yeah.
Randy?
Randy, do you know?
Wake up,
well,
Grandpa.
She, you know, he questioned her about it as if she really meant it. She said, no, I really am. So it's very possible she had a contract with them that they sent her through. There's plenty of companies that send you
actually,
to school
yeah.
for this or that.
I know it's true because I read it in a Grisham novel.
There you go.
Yeah,
I Trent saw it on the internet.
The really preppy, really rich agency in one of the ones, I think it's the Runaway Jury. They call it, it's called like, you know, Trucador and Bravado or something. But like the nickname for it is Trent and Brent because it's so preppy. And Trent and Brent does put people through law school.
No, my son works for a financial firm who paid for his master's degree, and he had to stay with him for 2 years after it, or he had to pay back the money.
Yeah, that's kind of different than indentured servitude, though.
He thought it was a good
deal. If I ever start my own law firm, I'm going to call it Pillage and Burns.
Pillage and Burns.
And change your last name to Pillage?
You know,
or Burns.
I think Burns.
Make it Pillage so you can be first.
The joke is always, what is it, We Cheat Him and How? But there's a something I was watching somewhere.
Dewey
Cheat Him and How. Something I saw somewhere where somebody was trying to convince someone that they'd hired an attorney to scare somebody. And they're like, yes, I've retained the services of the firm of Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. And the person's like, oh, I've heard of them.
I don't get it. What's Emerson, Lake, and Palmer?
You're young. It's a progressive rock band from the 70s. Kind of classical tinged. They're great.
No longer progressive.
Are they still around? Is that what you're telling me, Randy?
At the time. They were some of the original prog rockers with Yes and Jethro Tull
and Genesis.
And who else?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah,
those four. Like, if you looked up progressive rock in the Encyclopedia Rock Britannica, the Rocklopedia Britannica, there would have been a picture of those four bands, probably.
Probably so.
I always liked the band. Randy, did you ever hear the band? The record was called A Tab in the Ocean. Nektar, Nektar from Germany. They were a lesser-known prog rock band. Pink Floyd were considered prog rock,
I saw
rock
in concert.
Too, but
no,
not
no.
so much.
That,
Rush.
That was Neckbeard I saw in concert.
Rush, yeah, Rush were Genesis for headbangers, I heard them called. All right, here we go.
A Nektar is like a prosthetic neckbeard for theater, right?
You're listening
for narcs to blend in at Porkfest.
An invigorating alternative to those.
Dobby laughs, so I'll know you're kidding.
For some reason in this country, and most of the Western world, it's okay to just...
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's FiendPhone.com, FiendPhone.com, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Phone.com.
FiendPhone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Bad cop, good cop, you know, scenario. Knew that Mike had done it and was going to let him get away with it.
No, they knew he did it, but they couldn't prove it.
Well, yeah. The younger cop, I don't think, could prove it because he still wanted to investigate.
They did
but
not.
I think the older cop knew he did it.
Yeah, but they didn't both knew, but they didn't want to let him get away with it.
Well, the one guy wanted to let him get away with it. The black
so
guy.
I got a question. It seems from TV like there's a lot you could get away with if you bring a lawyer with you and have him do the talking. Like if Mike had just walked into that cop shop, they probably would have arrested him.
I found this in the parking lot.
Yeah, but like, he came in with an attorney. Is it really like that? Like, do you have a better chance with weird? Not saying can you commit fraud. I'm saying just like, you know, even if it's something that's not fraudulent. Like,
well, yeah, it is. It is true. It took him one step back. If you can, no matter what you're charged with, it's better to have a witness to say I was there. It didn't happen.
Yeah, and a lawyer is a more credible witness than a non-lawyer, right?
I don't know if Jimmy was that credible, but he
but
was another witness.
Well, because he's he bows to the queen, right?
and as he said, it was a petty theft.
You're just saying that it's good to bring a lawyer because you're a lawyer and you're trying to sell lawyers because you bow to the queen.
You know, I'm way too old to care in the least.
You have more clients than you want, don't you? Don't you turn down clients?
I have exactly the number that I want. Don't if I want another down. One tomorrow, I'll just...
Go to the courthouse and bring the lady some chocolates and a bunny rabbit.
Something stuffed like that.
Bear. Do you guys remember the name of the desk he wanted?
Oh, yeah. That was
Cocobolo.
Yeah. Cocobolo. Is that a thing?
I'm going to look that
Cocobolo
up.
Cocobolo desk. Yeah, if you look it up, it's a real nice looking, very streaky, variegated wood.
Yeah,
the autofill is Cocobolo guitar.
It's one of those imported woods, I think, that like you can't get anymore because of the treaties.
Well, yeah, no American would name a tree a Cocobolo.
The Free Keen video, Ashley and Damon Get Booted, has 624 views. It's gone up like 200 views while we've done this show.
I think the show is causing it. Maybe when we get back,
we'll say that.
Make one more pitch for it.
Okay.
A Cocobolo of fiends.
We are recording.
Yes, but then, what would you call a group of Cocobolos, though?
A desk of Cocobolos. Because a desk is a desk of cheese. I've heard that. Or a desk.
It would be a forest of Cocobolos.
Oh, Davi, that's good. You are on tonight.
Yeah, you should be a writer.
Yes,
I should.
Yeah, you should try that sometime. So have you?
You should put up.
Done any more work on approaching agents?
No, I'm gonna finish the three books first.
Okay. Yeah, you'll probably have more reviews and stuff by the time they're out. I'll
probably start approaching agents when I'm half done with the third book.
That makes the most sense.
That way I'm like I'm on the outs, I'm ready to move on.
Yeah, there you go.
What are the three books?
The Survivor Max books. I've written the first book.
Okay.
It's gotcha. Published, the second book is written, I've started compiling notes and outlines for the third book.
Randy has such a great voice.
Now that's, well, everybody hates their own voice.
No.
I hate my voice.
No, so. Don't hate your voice. I love your voice, no homo.
aren't you supposed to say not that there's anything wrong with that?
Hey, Rand, if you and your wife ever want to come visit me, I would definitely. We have a downstairs, like a furnished. You could stay here, man. We'll go shooting.
Well, you know, someday Carol has a brother in Oregon.
There you go. It's on the way.
If we drove, we might head kind of on that way.
Yeah. That would make sense.
And Wyoming's pretty cool. I went to Yellowstone once.
Yeah, well, awesome. The part of Wyoming that I'm in doesn't look like Yellowstone. Yellowstone is like some of the most stunning real estate in America. And where I live looks like the moon with sagebrush.
Well, see, you should be like South Dakota. And if it's that ugly, you call it the Badlands.
I live in the Badlands of Wyoming. Yeah,
did that go out on the air?
Yeah, we're back in about 30 seconds. What do you want to talk about when we get back, Randy?
I was going to say, no offense, South Dakota.
We're on the radio in South Dakota. You blew it, man. We're on in Belle Fouche, South Dakota.
I'm so sorry.
He just said some of it looks barren and they call it the Badlands. That's not an insult. That is a fact.
No,
not
actually,
that
there's
anything wrong with that.
It was like they called up Davi and said, we have this place in South Dakota that's just an ugly as a mutt. And what should we call it? And Davi said, the Badlands. It just came out of his mouth. Is that right, Davi?
Yeah, things are always coming out.
There's different Badlands. There's Badlands National Park in South Dakota. There are Badlands in Utah. And, you know, a lot of Badlands aren't really ugly. They're just not places you'd want to build a house.
Yeah, but the buildup, you know, when you're traveling across South Dakota, I mean, there's only a couple things until you get to Mount Rushmore. Well, let's just say the Black Hills, which are kind of cool.
Yeah, they are.
But when you're coming across from the east, I mean, there's two things. There's the Badlands, and is there still Wall Drug? Is that still there where you get the free water?
I don't know, but we're still...
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, I haven't been through there for 40 years.
People listening can't hear. The voice of God just confirmed that. Nathan, who lives in or has lived in South Dakota, our board office.
Very good. Wall Drug sounds like an outlet for generic pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, it does.
No, it's a drugstore in South Dakota that advertises for hundreds of miles.
Yeah, I remember. They do that in Wyoming, too. And the Black Hills extend into Wyoming. Most of the Free State Wyoming people live in the Black Hills area in the top right of the state. And and we're on the radio in Sundance, Wyoming, too, which is in that region, which is where the weird thing Devil's Tower is. That's a feature. It's kind of a plot point in Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Remember that? It's where the aliens land, pretty much.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love to go and see that.
And the government has to trick people to get out of there so they can bring the aliens in. And they trick them by shooting a bunch of sheep and saying there was a nerve gas leak from an army depot in Wyoming. Because they say they have to do that. They're planning that. The government in the movie are saying like, well, yeah, we can evacuate people. But those people in Wyoming, they don't trust the government very much. We're going to have to do something extreme to get them out of there.
Yeah. You know, when you're coming across South Dakota, when you're coming from the Midwest and you're going out west, you know, you're going out west, you're gonna see the west, and there's so much cool stuff to see in the west and hundreds of miles. I mean, the first thing you're looking forward to seeing as you're going to the old west, you're going to see the Badlands of South Dakota. And then when you get there, I guess it just, you know, if the first thing you saw was like some great Rocky Mountains, you know, you'd be impressed, but you're going, really? So anyway, I should stop insulting South Dakota, because
South Dakota's awesome, man.
Wall Drug, though, I'm sure they enjoy it. I don't think you're insulting. So let's go with it.
I don't think you're insulting South Dakota. I think you're stating fact by saying that a lot of it is kind of barren. And a part of the reason my wife and I live in Wyoming and where we live is because Wyoming is barren. It's also barren of people, which is why we live here. I mean, you know, like Anaheim has two-thirds as many people as the whole state of Wyoming. So I like it.
Yeah, but if it's indistinguishable from Kansas, then what's the point?
No, it's Wyoming. Even the part where we live, eastern central Wyoming towards Nebraska, it's not boring like Nebraska, and it's not boring like Kansas. Nebraska and Kansas, when you drive across them, I wrote this in my first novel. I moved to San Francisco on a Greyhound bus from Virginia, tripping. I was like, well, I'm going to San Francisco. I have to get my brain ready. And I don't ever trip on a bus, on a three-day bus trip across the country. By the time I got to like Nebraska, I would get out at a stop and feel like I was still moving, first of all. Second of all, I met the weirdest person who I thought was Satan on the bus, who was a preacher who was showing off his stack of $10,000 in cash to people on the bus. and
weird,
and trying to pick up some lady.
Was he trying to? Was he trying to trick you into gambling for a golden fiddle?
No, he was just showing it to me. But he had a cataract, so he looked like the devil to me. And he was hitting on this lady, and I kind of white knighted her. I was like, "Hey, man, why don't you leave her alone?" Because she told me when he went to the bathroom that he was bothering her. And I told him, and he said, and I was tripping really hard. And he said, "Son, my brother-in-law is the lieutenant governor of Georgia, and if you ever show up in my state, I'll make sure you're locked up for 99 and one half years." And it was kind of echoing in my brain.
He didn't try to buy your soul.
Well, what I decided was when we were driving across the middle of America, those two states, it looks like the Flintstones when they run and they repeat the background over and over and over. That's what Kansas and Nebraska look like to me. But where I live in Wyoming looks like the moon with sagebrush, as my friend said. And it's a very accurate description. All right. Great show, guys. Dobby's going to be back with me tomorrow night. Right, Dobby?
Hey, worms. Thanks for having me on for a third tonight, or
thanks,
a fourth.
Thanks for having us. For being had, man. Yeah. Worms.
Good night.
That's enough. Wait, to be what was that, Dobby? Say that again. I'm recording again. What?
I said, well, so my actual genetic ethnicity is that I'm half German, quarter English, quarter Scottish, quarter French and quarter English. But the quarter English of me is actually quarter Scottish trapped in an English body. And the quarter French of me is actually locked in a concentration camp by the half German.
That's horrible, man. For sale, French rifles, only dropped once. You ever heard that joke?
Never, I've seen that.
Never used, only dropped once. And Bill Buford hates that. He said it's wrong to make jokes about the French being cowards because they have been anything but in a lot of conflicts. And also there was the resistance of the Nazis, which were like Red Dawn, which is pretty
you
cool.
You mean like the phrase cheese-eating surrender cheese-eating monkeys surrender is unfair? Monkeys.
That's a Scottish term. That's groundskeeper Willie.
Or the joke that the French like to line their streets with trees so the Germans can march in the shade.
Yeah. Or, well, I really liked Boston Tea Party's description of the FN Foul rifle, the rifle that's called the right arm of the free world, which is why I called my band Right Arm of Wyoming, because I had a foul at the time. The foul is the battle rifle of every non-communist country in the world except America. America used those little .223 poodle shooters, the AR platform, M16, M4. But Boston said that Belgium makes amazing rifles for a country whose military history consists of repeatedly waving Germans through the border.
Is it fair to call a .223 a 22.3 caliber?
It's 22 caliber. Right? It's accurate to call that a 22, but it's like a 22 on steroids and meth and anti-gravity devices. Yeah. I mean, the ballistics of it blow away a 22LR. A 22
I don't
short.
Own anything that small.
That's I have a 22 rifle. They're really fun for plinking because it's like a nickel a shot, man.
Can you get ammo, though?
Yeah, well, I got ammo.
It's really hard around
I got
here.
Ammo when you could get ammo. I have, enough
have
22.
One, but I can't get ammo.
I have enough 22 forever, man. Oh, no, I don't. I lost it in a boating accident. We're still recording. Sorry. I don't want to register my ammo.
Yeah. I lost all my Bitcoin in a boating accident.
You did, man. You
well,
lost
you could never have too little 22 when the government comes.
Oh, I mean,
to
you
can
door. Take you could you know they'd be great for hunting and you could use them for defense. I mean, people make fun of 22s, but actually, other than 38s, 7.62x54, 22 bullets have killed more people in history than any other bullet.
I've prosecuted a few murders done with 22s.
Were they intentional or premeditated? Or?
Yeah, and they were headshots.
Were they like someone sniped somebody?
No. You know, you go into a drug dealer's accident? House and take his drugs and shoot him and his girlfriend in the head, you know.
And they use a .22 because it's so quiet the neighbors probably don't hear if the door's shut, right?
You know, in this episode of Better Call Saul, they repeated the line, thieves have no recourse.
Well, it was him learning from the other guy. It was him learning from the thief. Yeah, like that's become part of his. So in a way, Taco was like, was it Taco? Nacho. Nacho was like the mentor teaching Saul in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm English, Irish, and French Canadian. So I'm English and Irish, so I'm constantly at war with myself. And I'm Irish and French Canadian, which means I have secession in my blood. And the American part of me, too. My great-great-great-great-great-grandfather fought in the Revolutionary War on the American side. So
So but, your Revolutionary War side picks up the gun and then your French side drops it?
No, the French Canadians are
only once.
Only once, yeah. I don't believe in any of that. I don't feel like there's any, like, my brother joined the Daughters of the American Revolution, no, the Sons of the American Revolution, and had to prove that he was related to that guy. That's how I have proof that we were. I would never do that.
I'm sure that your people back in France were part of the Resistance.
My people weren't back in France. They were back in French Canada.
Before that.
You know, Cajuns are largely English Canadians that got kicked out of England and driven down to Louisiana and then interbred with the locals.
Well, actually, they by way of Maine. I think Maine has the largest French population, French speaking population in the Union, right?
Yeah, of course it would, because it's just term? Quebec South, the Union. All right, I'm gonna get off of here because I'm losing my voice again. Because I really
take care of yourself.
I was talking so loud, my wife came in and shut my door. She never does that. She can usually sleep through the show, but I'm on. I'm not on anything.
All right, guys.
All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow, Davy. Davy, I'll send you different criteria tomorrow for login. I'll use this for 2 days. Take care, y'all.
Good night.
Bye. I'll listen. Yep. Bye.
Worms.
Worms.